Good to see you here. It's the first time my mom's been back since February, I think, or March. So, and we got my sister-in-law, Gloria, visiting today. So welcome if you're a visitor. We've been studying a little bit about Luke. We started this when we were doing the Friday night Sunday school lessons, and we just continued on. In the last 2 weeks, we went over some people that we would know nothing about had it not been for Luke writing about them. One was Stephen in the 6th and 7th chapter of Acts. Last week, we went over a little bit about Philip, the evangelist. He was one of the seven men found mentioned in Acts 6:5 that were chosen to assist the apostles there in Jerusalem for the helping of the Greek-speaking widows. And these guys were chosen, Stephen and Philip, and there were five others that were chosen. They were men full of the Holy Ghost. And Stephen was probably outstanding among them, as was Philip. And I was thinking about this, and if you've gotten here early, you get the free stuff that's not on the notes. Luke is the guy we're really studying about. But you get a lot of his character in what he writes. He did not write anything improper or out of line about Stephen. You can't find a fault with Stephen. You can't find a fault with what he wrote about Philip. And we mentioned before that Luke was no doubt, as a follower of the Apostle Paul and there with him till the end, no doubt an overcomer like David was just talking about. Well, what did he see? The best. He seen the best in people. He seen Christ in people. That's what he saw. The explanation he gives us of the Apostle Paul, the picture he gives us in the chapters in Acts where he writes about him, it's how he took him from the chiefest of sinner and put him on the throne in his life and how it was. He showed us the best. And God wants the best in all of us. We want to see the best in each other. I think that's what we should, as a big picture view, get from studying about Luke. Now, I want you to go to the 21st chapter of Acts to start with. Most of the things that we'll talk about today are from Acts, and we're still talking about Philip the evangelist. And our whole lesson today, the starting point will be Philip the evangelist, and we'll end up, probably not today if the Lord tarries till next week, finishing up a little bit about Philip the evangelist. And last time we kind of finished up that between when we first read about Philip the evangelist in Acts chapter 6 and 8, we now find him in Acts 21. And it's been 19 or 20 years since Philip the evangelist arrived in Caesarea back in Acts 8:40. And the next time we read his name is in Acts 21, these verses starting in verse 8. And this is the last time we read his name in Scripture. But Acts 21:8, and the next day, this is Luke writing. He was with Paul as he was finishing his third missionary journey. The next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, Now, whenever you read Caesarea, realize that's where Philip had resided, Philip the evangelist, since Acts 8:40. And we, and there's nine of them here. There's seven that are listed in Acts 20, verse 4. We'll read this in a little bit. There's Luke, and there's Paul. There's nine people here. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist. That's the same guy, which was one of the seven mentioned in Acts 6:5, and abode with him. Now, I'm going to ask a couple questions, and we're going to spend most of today and part of maybe, if the Lord tarries, next week answering this. But how is it that Paul and his company came to the house of Philip the evangelist? Did they go knocking on doors? Obviously, they obviously knew Philip the evangelist. Somebody did in this group and met him before. And did Paul already know Philip the evangelist, or did somebody else in his company, those nine guys, eight besides Paul, did they know Philip? Oh yeah, it's okay. He won't mind having nine of us stay at his house. Really? Think about it. They knew him. Somebody knew him pretty well, didn't they? Well, Luke gives us a trail of clues as to how we can answer this question of how they knew him, who somebody there in that group knew him. And Luke giving us this trail of clues, we'll start with the clue that he gives us there in Acts 20:1-8, we that were of Paul's company. Go back to Acts 20, one page back in your Bible. And in Acts 20, verses 3 through 5, we find who was in this company of Acts 21:8. So it's a continuous story you need to review to follow along here. But in Acts 20, verse 2, we find that Paul was in Greece. Actually, he was in Corinth, which was in Greece. And that's where Paul is when we start reading here in Acts 20, verse 3. And there abode 3 months. This wasn't his first time in Corinth, but this was on his third missionary journey, and he was back there, and it says there he abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him, he was about to sail into Syria. Time out. We're going to stop there. And we're going to refresh our memories with a few facts. And Paul was beginning here to conclude his third missionary journey, and he was about to sail into Syria. What was in Syria? You guys should know this. Antioch. The major city of Antioch was located in the Antioch in Syria. And this just thought just came to me, but let's go to Acts 11:26. And this is the first time Paul was in Syria, in Antioch. And I'll just read the whole thing here. Acts 11:26. And when he had found him, that is called Saul that time, but he was our apostle Paul. This is Barnabas. He brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year, Barnabas and Paul, they assembled themselves with the church in Antioch in Syria and taught much people. And this is what I wanted you to see. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. That's the first time you read the word Christians. It was in Antioch. It wasn't in Jerusalem. The things that are written here that Luke wrote, both in the book of Luke and in the book of Acts, were written to a guy named Theophilus who resided in Antioch, Syria. That's why we have what we have of this. Okay, now that's just a little background. It was this church in Antioch, Syria, that had sponsored all of Paul's missionary journeys. And it was Paul's intention, as we read here in Acts 20, verse 3, to return to Antioch, Syria. He was going to set sail into Syria at the conclusion of his third missionary journey, just like he did at the conclusion of his first missionary journey and his second missionary journey. I know you guys are kind of thinking, I don't remember reading that. So that's why we're doing this morning. Because this is one of the things that gets overlooked in reading and studying about the Apostle Paul. And so go back to Acts 14, and we'll get there in a second. Paul's first missionary journey was sponsored by the church at Antioch in Syria there. It was with Barnabas, and Luke covered that journey in what he wrote in Acts chapters 13 and 14. And in Acts 14, 23 and on, we'll read that, this is where Paul's first missionary journey, which was with Barnabas, this is how it ended. Acts 14, 23, and when they, that's Paul and Barnabas, had ordained them elders in every church which they had been to on this first missionary journey, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And after they had passed through Bethsaida, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and thence sailed to, note this, Antioch, that's in Syria, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. That's where you find that they were sponsored by the church of Antioch. Verse 27, and when they were come to Antioch and had gathered the church together at Antioch, where they were first called Christians, they, Paul and Barnabas, rehearsed all that God had done with them in Acts 13 and 14 on this first missionary journey of Paul's, and how he, the Lord, had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there in Antioch, they abode long time with the disciples. How long is a long time? More than a day, probably more than a week, probably more than a couple months. It's a long time. We're not told how long it was. So Paul and Barnabas abode a long time with the disciples of Antioch, Syria, because this was the church who had recommended Paul and Barnabas and had sponsored their first missionary journey. And when they, that church at Antioch, Syria, where they were first called Christians, want to know what took place on that journey that they had sent these two now called apostles on. Now, let's go to Acts 18, and we'll read what happened at the conclusion of Paul's second missionary journey. His second missionary journey, Paul's, was about 3 years long. It was not with Barnabas. This missionary journey began in Acts 16. We spent several weeks in Sunday school at the end of last year and the beginning of this year, going over Paul and Silas in Acts 16 in the prison, in the midnight Bible stories that we were studying. And we'll, Lord willing, maybe get back to that if you don't come first. And they had, in Acts 16, it went with Paul and Silas, went and they went through and they picked up Timothy, visited the places, some of the places Paul had been on his first missionary journey, and they ended up in Philippi and established churches there. They also in Thessalonica, in Berea. This is on Paul's second missionary journey. He had visited Athens, where he preached a sermon on Mars Hill, and he had stayed in Corinth about 18 months, which you can read in Acts 18, the first chapters there, first verses of the chapter. Now, let's start in Acts 18:18, where he's still at Corinth. And it says, "And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while." And if you'll study this chapter out, you'll find that good while was a year and a half. "And then he took leave of the brethren," there in Corinth, "and sailed thence into Syria." What was in Syria? Antioch, the church that had sponsored his second missionary journey. But it doesn't read smooth like, well, he went from Corinth to Syria. He had some stops along the way. And he sailed into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. These were Jews, lately come down from Rome in Acts 18, verse 1 through 3, which had learned Paul's gospel. They were tent makers, Paul. You'll read that in Aquila. And they took him in. Priscilla and Aquila took Paul in and learned Paul's gospel as they made tents and as he preached to them, one-on-one, home Bible studies. They learned Paul's gospel. It says, "And having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow, and he came to Ephesus." This is Paul with Priscilla and Aquila. And he left them there. They stayed in Ephesus, that is Aquila and Priscilla. And whenever we read about them again in Scripture, that's where they were, in Ephesus. "But he himself, Paul, entered into the synagogue." The synagogue would be the synagogue of the Jews. "And he reasoned with the Jews." And verse 20, "When they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not." And he said this, "He bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus, and when he had landed at Caesarea," who lived in Caesarea? Philip. Doesn't say anything about seeing Philip here. But maybe. "And when he landed at Caesarea and gone up," that means he gone up to Jerusalem, "and saluted the church at Jerusalem, he went," and it says "down to Antioch," but on a map it's really up to Antioch. Okay, that's about 300 miles away. "And after he had spent some time there," where? Antioch. "He departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Perga in order, strengthening the disciples." Now, Luke crams a lot of information in these six verses we just read. And if you just read them, you'll miss it. Basically, when we started out there in verse 18, Paul had left Corinth with Aquila and Priscilla. He came to Ephesus for the first time, but he only stayed there long enough to visit the synagogue of the Jews there at Ephesus at least one time. Aquila and Priscilla stayed in Ephesus, and Paul sailed to Jerusalem. The closest seaport to Jerusalem was located at Caesarea. That's about 70 miles distance from Jerusalem. And of course, as we mentioned, it was Philip that was the evangelist who was living in Caesarea at this time. Did Paul see Philip, the evangelist, at this time? Or did he even know Philip at this time? And Luke doesn't tell us one way or the other. The reason Paul wanted to be at Jerusalem during the time of one of these Jewish feasts was because it gave him a greater opportunity to be a witness to many Jews at one time. Turn to Romans 10:1 briefly. Hold your place in Acts. And at these Jewish feasts, Jews from all over the world would travel to Jerusalem to be at these Jewish feasts, these celebrations, just like the Feast of Pentecost, which was noted in Acts 2, where there were from all over the world different Jews who heard the disciples after they got filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost speak in tongues, and they heard them speak in their languages. And they were Jews from all over the world because they gathered in Jerusalem for these feasts. And so in Romans 10:1, Paul writes this, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." And how many times do we hear prayer requests, even here in church, of ones that are Jews that we've talked to and we're praying for that they might be saved? It was still going on today. And so again, Acts 18:22 says this, "And when he landed at Caesarea and gone up, he saluted the church and went down to Antioch." And Luke records nothing more of Paul here in Jerusalem other than he saluted the church at Jerusalem, meaning Paul greeted them and then proceeded on to Antioch, Syria, where again was located the assembly that sponsored all of Paul's missionary journeys, the same assembly where they were first called Christians that we read in Acts 11:26 this morning. Acts 18:23 informs us that Paul spent an unknown amount of time there, and then he started his third missionary journey from Antioch, Syria, no doubt once again being encouraged and sponsored by the church at Antioch. And it says like this, as Luke writes in Acts 18:23, that Paul, after he had spent some time there at Antioch, Syria, he departed and went all over the country of Galatia and Persia in order strengthening the disciples. So Paul's third missionary journey takes him back to Ephesus by way of Galatia and Perga, as noted in Acts 18:23, places he'd previously visited both on his first and second missionary journey. Now, who was with Paul on this third missionary journey? Good question, huh? Because we didn't read anybody being specifically with him, but probably Timothy was with Paul at this time. It'd be hard to go back to where he picked up Timothy to begin with and drop in and see his mother and his grandmother. And they go, "How's Timothy?" "Oh, I left him a long time ago." No, that probably didn't happen. Timothy was probably traveling with him at the conclusion of his second missionary journey as they went back up to Antioch, where they never met Timothy. Now Timothy's probably with Paul on his third missionary journey. And so when Paul arrives back in Ephesus, he was there 3 years. And then in Acts 20, verse 1, it tells us that Paul went from Ephesus west over to Macedonia and back to Corinth in Acts 20, verse 2. Which was where he was before we started all this. Now, in Acts 20, verse 2, we find Paul was in Greece, and Corinth was in Greece. So this is where Paul was, as we now read Acts 20, verse 3. "And he abode there 3 months, Corinth. And when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to set sail into Syria." Syria, again, where's in Syria? Antioch, the church that he was, his home church, basically, as a Christian. "He purposed to return through Macedonia, and there accompanied him into Asia, Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus." Secundus was a little slow. He could have been Firstus. Never mind. Okay, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia, Tychicus, and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas. Now that's a lot of words, and so let me go over and describe what happened here. The us recorded here is Luke mentioning himself again as being part of this group, making at least 8 men who were traveling with the Apostle Paul at this time. So with Paul, that makes 9 guys traveling together. And there are a couple of familiar names listed here, like Timotheus, who is Timothy, and he is one of the church apostles by this time. Also, Aristarchus, you probably heard of him a little bit before. He, in Acts 27:2, is called a Macedonian of Thessalonica. And so, if he was with Paul in Acts 27:2, getting on the same ship Paul did, along with Luke, they were in that same ship that had shipwreck in Acts 27. Now, we know Luke stayed with Paul the rest of his life. I think Aristarchus pretty much did. I would have said, you know, you're not having very good luck with ships, Paul. I'm going to stay away from you. But no, they weren't worried about circumstance. They loved the Lord and the gospel message that he preached, and they wanted God's best. And we find Aristarchus is mentioned in 5 verses of Scripture. He's mentioned 3 times in Acts. He's also mentioned in Philemon 1:24, where he's called one of Paul's fellow laborers. And in Colossians 4:10, he is listed among those of the circumcision to be one of Paul's fellow prisoners. And then in this group in Acts 20, verse 4, we find Sopater of Berea. And remember the Berean saints, why they're so famous? They studied and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so that Paul was teaching them. And so he obviously was one of those kind of guys who searched the scriptures daily. And with all readiness of mind, like they did there in Acts 17:11, to see whether or not the things that Paul told them about the Old Testament scripture was true. Another guy found here in Acts 20, verse 4 is Sopater. He was probably a Jew. And then Secundus, that's a Roman name. He was probably a Gentile. And then there was a Gaius of Derbe. It is not recorded whether he was a Jew or a Gentile. Tychicus is listed in Colossians 4:7 among the circumcision, meaning he was a Jew. And Trophimus, he was an Ephesian. He is noted to be a Greek Gentile in Acts 21, verses 28 and 29. And we've already mentioned when we started our lessons here about Luke, that Luke was a Gentile. So you got a collection of 9 guys, some Jews and some Gentiles, okay? These 7 men found listed in Acts 20, verse 4, were found waiting for Paul at Troas. Why? Acts 20, verse 3 indicates why, stating that there abode 3 months, and when the Jews laid wait for him, he was about to sail into Syria. He purposed to return through Macedonia. In Connie Bearer and Howson's book on the life and epistles of the Apostle Paul, they note that the order in which these 7 disciples are mentioned by Luke may indicate the last minute change in plans that the Apostle Paul had to make after he found out about the plot to kill him there at Corinth. When the Jews laid wait for him, they speculate that Paul left Corinth sooner than he really had intended, even before all the arrangements were complete for the collection of the poor saints at Jerusalem. Time out. What are we talking about? The poor saints at Jerusalem. Okay, let's go to Acts 15, and then we'll go to Galatians 2. And we find out why Paul was taking up a collection for the poor saints at Jerusalem on these missionary journeys of his. And this was a result of the conference held at Jerusalem, which is discussed in Acts 15 and in Galatians 2. Briefly, Paul and Barnabas, after their first missionary journey, they had made a journey from Antioch, Syria, back down to Jerusalem after their first missionary journey of Acts 13 and 14. And their reason for going back to Jerusalem is explained in Acts 15, 1 and 2. And as we read this, remember that Paul and Barnabas had been back in Antioch, Syria, a long time, according to Acts 14, 28, when the following happened in Acts 15, 1. And certain men which came down, which really should be came up from Judea to Antioch, taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they, there at Antioch, determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And you can read the rest of Acts 15 and learn the end result about this conference between the apostles in Jerusalem and Paul and Barnabas. And this conference ended with a letter being sent back to the Gentiles of Antioch, Syria, and everywhere else in the world where they had been, that they were never under the law in the first place, and that circumcision had nothing to do with one's salvation. Now, you go to Galatians 2. If I haven't sent you there, we're going to run out of time, but I want to read the first 10 verses of Galatians 2. And this is Paul now filling in the details of what took place at that conference in Jerusalem in Paul's own words, Galatians 2:1. Then 14 years after, and this would be 14 years after his first time that he had been to Jerusalem. Because remember, he didn't go to Jerusalem at the end of his first missionary journey. He went straight to Antioch, Syria. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. That's one little detail Luke left out there in Acts 15 about Titus. And I went by revelation and communicated unto them that the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run in, or had run in vain, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person, for they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, that would be, another word would be Gentiles, and as the gospel of the circumcision, that would, another word would be Jews, was unto Peter, verse 8, for that he wrought effectually in Peter the apostleship of the circumcision to the Jews, the same mightily was me towards the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived that the grace was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, the Gentiles, and they to the circumcision, the Jews. Only they would that we should remember the poor the same which I was also, same which I also was forward to do. The emphasis in verses 7 to 10 shows that Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles, along with Barnabas, and that Peter was an apostle of the Jews, as was John and James, and they were also elders in Jerusalem. And James was probably the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. And Peter and James and John all acknowledged that Paul and Barnabas were sent unto the Gentiles. In verse 10, Peter, James, and John all requested that Paul and Barnabas remember the poor saints of Jerusalem as they journeyed to regions far beyond Jerusalem, which, according to Paul, as he wrote there in Galatians 2:10, I was forward to do. He was willing to do that. Okay, so next time, Lord willing, we'll show how he took a collection up for the saints in Jerusalem, the poor people that were there.